Lord, we just thank you for your resurrecting power. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today. And let the church say amen and amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hope you all had a good Easter. Hopefully you didn't eat too much candy. And we know how it is. You steal your kids' candy, right? I have four kids, so that's more candy to steal. Anyway, it's good to see you all this morning as we're starting a brand new series called Examine Your Face. Examine Your Face. And so we have our friend Mr. Spud right here, Mr. Potato Head. And so we're going to be talking about the different inlets that we allow into our soul. And so our eyes are an inlet to our soul, and the things that, you know, the things that we see and the things that we hear are an inlet to our soul, and the things that we speak is what we're going to look at today. And that's what actually comes out of our soul. It comes out of our heart. And so the title of this one is called Good Hearts Produce Good Words. Good Hearts Produce Good Words. I want to start off with a personal story. I was at Lowe's the other day. It's one of my favorite stores in the whole wide world. If anybody knows me, I love going to Lowe's. I love building things, and I love just going to Lowe's. It's one of my favorite places. And so I was working on the sign over here in the front, and I was on a mission. So I was just in there to get what I wanted and then to get out, right? I wasn't there to fellowship with anybody. I was there to get what I wanted and get out. I was on a mission, right? Well, don't you know that while I'm looking at the hardware and trying to figure out what would be the best hardware to affix these letters on this sign, that a Lowe's employee comes down the same aisle that I am on, all right? And he's there to help another person, another individual. And so the Lowe's employee, he's looking for a little bit more clarification. So apparently the sought-out part that this guy was looking for, it could have been in one or two places. It could have been in a couple of different places. And so I didn't think none of it. So the Lowe's employee goes to this guy, you know, just trying to get a little bit more clarification. And you would have thought that the Lowe's employee insulted his mother or something like that. But by the way he responded, he's like, "What, you don't want to help me? What, you're having a bad day? You should have stayed home if you're having a bad day." And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. This guy was just trying to ask the man, you know, a little bit more clarification to see exactly where to point this man at. And he just goes off on this Lowe's employee. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And it didn't stop there. Whenever the Lowe's employee, he says, "Hey, look, I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to clarify, what do you want so that I can point you in the right direction?" Man, that just like escalated the conversation to like, you know, a level 20. This guy just like gets all bent out of shape, and he's like raising his voice and everything at the Lowe's employee. And he's about to throw down some hands. He's about to fight the Lowe's employee because he is not helping him. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding. So at this time, the Lowe's employee, he does what is very commendable. He walks away, all right? He says, "Sir, have a nice day." And he walks away from this guy who's just very adamant about being in his face. Well, that upset the guy even more. "Hey, look, don't walk away from me while, hey, I'm trying to get some help." And so he's tracking him down. "Hey, what's your name? What's your name? Who are you? I'm going to report you to your manager for not helping me." And I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding me, right? This guy was just trying to help the man. But yet he takes this conversation and brings it to a level that was not needed to go there. He didn't need to raise the fuss that he did. And I started thinking about this. I said, you know what, that's the reality of the world we live in. We have people that we're surrounded by who do not know Jesus, who do not know the love of Jesus, do not have the love of God in their heart. And so instead of using their words to build people up, they use their words to tear people down. And so the more we think about this, it's one thing to see that in the world, but it's a whole nother thing whenever you see it in the church. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Anybody ever heard of the word starts with a G, ends with a P? Gossip. One of the biggest church killers there is when the people of God start talking about each other. Tara and I, at the beginning of our church, whenever we started, we visited several churches in this area. And we were awestruck by how much gossip. I mean, the whole entire time there are people behind us just talking about this person. You see that person's hair? Do you see what they're wearing? Do you see this and that? Like, are you serious? Look, we have a real enemy, and his name is Satan. And Satan would love for us to continue to fight one another. And Satan would love for us to be so consumed with just gossiping about each other and tearing each other down rather than fighting against our true enemy, Satan, our adversary, the devil. That is our real enemy, not the person who has the messed up hair or whatever, not the person who's wearing the clothes that's not your to your approval. But Satan is our real enemy, and so he would like for us to continue to gossip and tear down one another. So we're going to look at how from the abundance of our heart, the mouth begins to speak. From the abundance of our heart, the mouth will begin to speak. And so the Bible has several things to say about the way we use our mouth. And so just a couple of scriptures in the book of Proverbs 12:18, it says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Did you guys catch that? There are some people who use their mouths like a sword, and they thrust their swords and they thrust their words into people's lives, and it brings hurt and it brings devastation and it brings pain, is what the book of Proverbs says. But then there are people who use their words, who use it wisely, and it brings healing into someone else. And so another scripture in the book of Proverbs 15:1 says, and this one you should tattoo it on your forehead, because this one will save your marriage. It says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Every time that I am tempted to say a harsh word, I remind myself of this scripture, a soft answer turns away wrath. And so in that moment where I feel like lashing out, I think about this scripture. And I ask God, "God, give me the words to say. Help me to say it in such a loving manner to where my words bring healing and not hurt into this person's life that I care about so much." And then another one in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it." And so all these three scriptures talk about how our words can either bring healing or it can bring hurt into the people that we love and to those who are around us. It always starts with your words. Think about every encounter that you've had, you know, every argument that you had, every fight that you had. It always started with your mouth, right? It always started by someone running their mouth. If it didn't start with the mouth, it definitely escalated by the mouth. And so this mouth, it's a flame. It's like a rudder. It steers your entire body. It's a little flame that can cause a lot of damage, or it can cause a lot of good. Amen. So we want to use our mouths for good and for speaking life into those who are around us. Whenever I discipline my kids, I'm a little bit more firmer with them. The consequences are a little bit more greater whenever they use their mouths to lie or to be disrespectful or to be rude and to be ugly. I tell you what, and especially if they are disrespectful to their mother, you will see the wrath of dad come out whenever that happens. I don't tolerate that kind of stuff. You're not going to disrespect your mother. I know whenever, if I would have ever done that growing up, I would have got slapped right across the face immediately. And that should be brought back. You know, people should be allowed to slap their kids across the face whenever they are disrespectful. Bring that back. Hallelujah. And all the parents are like, yeah. So I don't tolerate that kind of stuff. And God definitely doesn't tolerate that kind of stuff. Because whenever you use your mouth to tear someone else down, you are really tearing down someone who is made in the image and likeness of God. They are His children. They are His sons and they are His daughters. And so whether you speak something good or whether you speak something that is bad, your words will have consequences. There will be consequences. If you're speaking bad things, guess what? You're going to reap the consequences of those bad things that you have spoken. If you're speaking good things, you're going to reap the benefits of speaking those good things. Now, I'm reminded of a story about a man named Elisha. Anybody remember Elisha? In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23, it talks about Elisha. It says, he went up from there to Bethel, and while he was going up on the way, some small boys came out of the city and jeered at him, saying, "Go up, you bald head! Go up, you bald head!" And he turned around, and when he saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys up. You don't mess with the man of God. You don't talk about the man of God. You don't use your mouth to destroy and come against what God had established in the earth. See, they wasn't just coming against Elisha. They were coming against what God stood for. They were coming against the kingdom of God. And because they used their words to poke fun at the man of God pronounced a curse upon him. But God ordered the bears. God ordered those bears to come and maul those kids. So I'm not saying that you're going to get mauled by a bear, but I am saying that there will be consequences for your words. There will be consequences. Hopefully, you don't get mauled by a bear. Hopefully, that God will give you grace so that you can repent and change your ways. Either way, your words will have consequences. The next thing I want to talk about is that your words reveal your heart. Your words that are coming out of your mouth reveal what's really on the inside. And so perhaps you have kids in this room today, and so what is coming out of their mouth will tell you what is going on in their heart. What is coming out of their mouth will tell you what is going on in their heart. The book of Luke chapter 6, 45 says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Now, it only makes sense, right? What you put into your heart will come out of your mouth. If you're filling your mind and you're filling your heart with garbage, if all you do is watch Fortnite and play Fortnite all day long where you're killing people all day long, then eventually bad things are going to come out of your mouth, right? If that's all you do is fill your mind and you fill your heart with garbage, garbage is going to come out eventually. But if you fill yourself with the Spirit of God, then things that are of the Spirit of God will eventually come out. So I have my friend Spud right here. All right, everybody say, "Hey, Spud." I called him Spud. I don't know what my wife was going to call him, but anyway, we're going to call him Spud, and we're going to remove his cap for right now because, you know, we are in church and all that, but if you have a cap, that's fine. So anyway, I have some red beans right here. Anybody love red beans? Yeah. Come on now. All right, slow-cooked red beans with some sausage and some maybe some Tony's and a little spice, whatever. Hey, everybody likes some red beans. Are you getting hungry yet? All right, well, good deal. So what happens when I fill Mr. Spud with some red beans? Now, what do you think will happen if I take Mr. Spud and dump them upside down? Beans come out, right? Pretty simple, right? So what if I put sugar in Mr. Spud? He might gain weight. So he might go from Spud to, I don't know, Dud or something. I don't know. So anyway, if I pour sugar in Mr. Spud right here, I don't want to pour too much because it's all kind of clumped together. Some sweet things. Pour some sweet things into Mr. Spud. Guess what's going to come out whenever I pour it out? So he lost some weight. He lost a few calories just now. All right, but we're going to take it a step further. What if Mr. Spud over here, he begins to put things into his heart like unforgiveness, anger? He begins to put some resentment, has resentment towards others who have wronged him. Mr. Spud has bitterness in his heart for something that happened to him whenever he was a child. He has a little jealousy in his heart as well. Mr. Spud is envious of his neighbor's possessions. He's kind of full of hatred too. So what do you think would happen whenever Mr. Spud opens his mouth? What kind of things are going to come out of Mr. Spud? Hatred, anger, resentment, unforgiveness. Now, Suppose Mr. Spud encounters Christ. Suppose that he says that Christ begins to heal all the wounds that are inside of his heart. So he's been emptied out. And so then he begins to fill his life with contentment, just being content with the things that he has. He begins to forgive those who have wronged him and forgive those who have maliciously used him and forgive all of those who have hurt him. He begins to have the peace of the Lord inside of his life. He begins to fill his life with peace. He begins to fill himself with joy and with the love of God. So therefore, now, whenever he opens his mouth and things begin to come out, it's love, joy, peace, things that are filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? It's impossible to fill your life with a bunch of junk and expect good things to come out of it. Now, I also know that people have experienced things that happened to them, which were not their fault. Physical abuse, verbal abuse, different types of abuse of every kind that were not your fault, but then somehow they are still in there. And so until God heals the brokenness of your life, what will come out is that which you have allowed in. And so if you haven't allowed God to heal those broken and dark places in your life, guess what? Whenever you try to interact with other people, you still have that brokenness on the inside of you. And so that brokenness will affect generations to come. And so that's what happened in this story with Elisha. The men, their parents began to mock and jeer at the man of God. And so these kids learned how to mock and jeer at the man of God. And so Elijah said, hey, look, if this pattern continues, they will wreak havoc on the prophets of God. And that's why he called down the curse. And that's why God put his amen on the curse and caused the she-bears to come and devour them. But because they allowed things into their life and they never allowed Christ to take those things out of their life and bring healing into their life. And so from the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. If you're filled with bitterness and you're filled with hatred, from the abundance of that hatred, from the abundance of that bitterness, your mouth will speak bitterness and hateful things. That's the only way. What goes into your mouth or what goes into your heart will eventually come out. You know, you think about a bully at school. The reason he bullies and the reason that he tries to make people feel littler than what he is because there's something that is not right in his life. Somewhere along the way, he too experienced rejection. He too experienced hatred. He too experienced some things in his life, and he never let the love of Christ heal him. And so because of that, he now is a bully to others. He now has this hate in his heart, and the only way that he feels some sense of accomplishment is if he gives hate to other people. So it's important for us to allow Christ to heal those dark and those broken places of our lives. Perhaps there are some of you in this room today who are still hanging on to those hurtful words that were spoken to you many, many, many years ago. But yet it still affects you even today. It still affects your speech. It still affects the words that you say. You know, if you're having a hard time speaking good things and speaking positive things and uplifting things into the lives of others, I would ask that you would do a heart check today. I would ask to see if there is something that you've been holding on to that you have not allowed Christ to fully heal. It's a heart issue. The book of Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 22 says, "You have heard that it was said of those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother," and the New King James would add, "without a cause, will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." And so Jesus, he is speaking to those who would have known the law, those who would have understood the law, those who would have known the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." But He's addressing them as though they misinterpreted the law. He says, look, you said it's wrong to kill. And I would say, yes, it's wrong to kill. But Jesus takes it a step further. He says, look, it's wrong to have anger in your heart. That's where the killing begins, is anger in your heart. You think about Cain whenever he murdered Abel. He didn't just go and murder Abel, but it started with anger in his heart. Because Abel offered a more pleasing sacrifice to God, Cain became jealous, right? And because God accepted Abel's sacrifice, Cain was jealous. And so that jealousy came in his heart. And then that jealousy began to fester, and it turned to hate. And he allowed that hate to continue on until eventually it became murder. And so that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, the anger that you have in your heart, that is the same, or it deserves the same punishment as the murder itself. It's a heart issue is what Jesus is saying. It all begins in the heart. Now, there is some anger that is good. My brother Jeremiah in the back, the man, he will get angry whenever he sees abuse of women and children. There is like a holy righteous anger that Mr. Jeremiah will display because he can't stand it whenever young women and young and children are being abused. That is a holy righteous anger that rises up. And I think there should be many more people who have that same type of anger whenever they see injustice in the world, that we too would rise up and say, look, this is not right. This is not right. But the anger that Jesus is talking about is the anger that leads to violence, the anger that leads to harsh things. You know, it's even okay to get angry at your kids within reason, okay, within reason. If the anger is meant to turn them from their ways. But when the anger becomes something else, when it crosses the line and it becomes abused, then that anger is wrong. And Jesus will say that anger is a sin as murdering. So the anger level has to match the action, right? The anger level has to match the action. In the book of Ephesians, I know many of you don't believe me, so I'm going to read what the scripture says. In the book of Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And so that's what was Cain's problem. He let this anger fester in his soul. He let it begin to build and build and build. And because he had anger in his heart and he never dealt with that anger, he wound up killing his brother. So Jesus warns us about this and says, look, let's get the anger out of your heart. Let's get those things, that heart motive. Let's check your motives and make sure your heart is right before the Lord. And then lastly, your words need reconciliation. Your words need reconciliation. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 through 24, it says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, notice the scripture is talking about you. All right? Turn to your neighbor and say, this scripture is talking about you. He said, if you are offering your gift, he says, if you remember that a brother has something against you, that means you've offended a brother. That means you offend, your words cause some kind of hurt to another brother or sister in Christ. Then you need to rise up from your place and go be reconciled to that person before the Lord will even hear your prayer. Get quiet all of a sudden. It's great, right, when we're talking about other people, right? But when we focus on ourselves and said, no, you need to reconcile. You need to make amends. Whatever it is, if you said something that hurted someone else, you need to make amends. You need to go and make it right with that person. It's always the other person's fault, though, right? It's always their fault. But Jesus says, no, it's your fault. You look at yourself. Look at what you've done. Look at how your words have hurt other people. Look at the anger inside of your heart. Look at how that anger is just as destructive as murdering someone yourself. You look at yourself. how your words have hurt people. Now, he also says in the book of Mark, chapter 11, 25, says, this scripture is for those who have been hurt, for those who have been abused, for those who have experienced, someone offend them. It says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So not only are you to reconcile to those who you have wronged, but if someone has wronged you, you need to forgive. You need to let it go. You need to put it at the foot of the cross and say, God, I forgive them. You know, I had to do this with a particular family member in my family. I had to pull this person aside and say, I forgive you. And I told him why I forgave him. Because of what this person had done. And so for me to forgive him was for me to be free from that. And for me to have complete freedom where it no longer bugged me anymore. And I was totally free from that. And the command for you today, if someone's offended you, if someone's hurt you, if someone's wronged you, you need to forgive that person. Reconciliation takes place on both levels. That we need to make things right on our part, but we also need to forgive those who have wronged us. And one last scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24 says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. See, the reason why you are able to forgive, the reason why you are able to let that offense go is because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have put off your old self and you have taken on the newness of Christ. And because he said, Father, I forgive them for they know not what they do. We too have that same responsibility to say, Father, I forgive them for they knew not what they do. They've wronged me. They didn't know that they wronged me. God, I forgive them. If Jesus can do this, hanging from a cross, beaten and mocked and spit upon and made a public spectacle in front of everybody, how much more are we to say, Father, I forgive them? You will never move forward in your life until you truly forgive. It will mess with you. It will haunt you. It will destroy your life. You need to forgive and you need to make amends for those who you have hurt. Verse 31 in that same passage, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Question today is, what are you putting in your heart? What are you filling your life with? What is coming out? What is being poured out upon the lives of those around you? Is it godly? Is it gentleness? Is it goodness? Is it kindness? Is it meekness? Is it faith? Or is it resentment? Is it anger? Is it gossip? Is it hatred? I think the Lord would have for us today to look at our hearts and see, what have we been filling our lives with? What have we been filling our hearts with? Because from the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So today, I want to give you just an opportunity to evaluate yourself. And if I would have everyone close their eyes, bow their heads. Lord, today, we choose to look at ourselves. We ask, God, that you would point out, Lord, the times where we have wronged others. And Lord, that we would choose, Lord, to make amends. That we would choose, Lord, to be reconciled to that person. Lord, so that you would hear our prayers, oh God. Lord, for those who have hurt us, today we choose to forgive them. God, we let go of all bitterness. We let go of all hatred. We let go of all malice. We let it go. God, we pray that you would heal those dark areas of our lives today. Lord, so that from the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak good things. So, Lord, we thank you for this word. Though it's simple, yet it's profound. Help us, Lord, today. So if that's you in this place where you haven't really used your words to speak life into those who are around you. In fact, you may even be guilty of tearing people down with your words. I would ask you that you would do something bold today, and that you would stand to your feet. And we're just going to ask that God would heal you and that God would forgive you. You know, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, if you confess your sins before the Lord, that he is faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So if you're standing in this place today, it's just a matter of saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Lord, please forgive me for not using my words to edify and lift people up. But Lord, I've used my words to tear people down. I realize, God, that they too are made in the image and likeness of God. And whenever I insult them, I insult you. Lord, today I pray that you would forgive me and that you would cleanse me, oh God, and that you will help me to make better decisions with my mouth, to speak life, Lord God, and to speak not death, but Lord, to speak encouragement, oh God. And Lord, for those of us, Lord God, in this place, Lord, that we would just choose and that we would purpose in our hearts, Lord, to fill ourselves up with good things. And Lord, for those who are still dealing with hurt in this place from words that were spoken in the past, God, I pray that you would begin to heal them, Lord God, of that hurt, Lord God, and that you would begin to remove that hurt and that pain from their lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you will wash them, that you will make them clean, oh God. In Jesus' name, and we rebuke every negative word that your people have believed in the name of Jesus. Every offensive word, we let it go. We say, God, we choose to forgive that person right now in Jesus' name. Right now, we choose to walk in the love of Christ. We choose to be called Christians. So, Lord, we ask that you would heal us, heal the brokenness of our lives, so that, and also, Lord, that you would pour into us good things, that you would pour into us love, joy, peace and kindness and gentleness and goodness and meekness and faith. In the name of Jesus. So Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you, Lord, for healing the brokenness of our lives. And Lord, we ask, Lord, from this day forward, Lord, that we will be mindful, that we would speak good things, that we will use our mouths to bring healing and not hurt to those around us. God, we thank you. We just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today, we encourage you, take one of those verses that Pastor Ted read about let no corrupt word come out of your mouth and memorize it. If you struggle with that, we encourage you to memorize it. And before we leave service today, just a practical application. Would you turn to your neighbor and just tell them two nice things about themselves? Just speaking life into them and speaking good things into them. If you don't have a neighbor, find a neighbor. For some of you, this might be hard. Maybe you need to make it right with your family or your kids or your wife or whomever, but would you just start speaking life? Now, I'm watching. We have a guy right here who needs somebody speaking life to him. Turn to your friends, your neighbors. We love you guys. Come and check out Wednesday at 6:30. And turn to your neighbor. She's right there. No one spoke to her. Y'all find some people. Speak life into them. Speak health into them and existence in Jesus' name. We love you guys. We'll see you Wednesday at 6:30.